good day, isn't it? Woo! We're delighted that you are here. A special welcome to those of you that are visiting today. You enrich our worship. And we are delighted to welcome back Pastors Paul and Stacy and their boys, Rob and Charlie. Welcome back, you guys. We're obviously very glad to see you. After worship today, we'll gather for our annual picnic at Almendinger Park. You can find maps just down the ramp on the information table in the hallway. We hope you will come, whether you signed up and said you were coming, whether you forgot your potluck dish on your counter at home. Everybody can come. We have enough food. We'll have chairs and tables there. If you have lawn chairs, feel free to bring those. And I think this is an important point. There are bathrooms, real bathrooms, and they're close. So it works for everybody. Come join us at the picnic. We'll have fun. We'll laugh together. We'll play together. And we'll eat good food together. Next Sunday, you'll see in your bulletin that we have the Connect Fest coming up. You've been hearing about it over the last couple of weeks. It's an intergenerational event that we have planned, a robust team has planned with all of you in mind. So we hope that you will be here next Sunday and will join us for that in the fellowship hall after worship to connect with one another and with the ministries and missions of the church. We'll hear from Sandy Bauma today, who will be sharing about ways she has connected and inviting you to do so as well. There's lots of information in your bulletin, announcements about things starting up. Ask that you read those at your leisure. The gathering is starting for grad and undergrad students this week. A good meal, time with Paul and Stacy. What's not to love? So that starts this week. American Baptist Women's Ministry is next Sunday as well. And you'll find a whole bunch of other information about things happening. So check out your bulletin announcements. You'll find in your bulletin as well a connection card. We invite you to fill that out. That helps us connect with you and keeps the life of the church going. So we ask that you fill that out and place that in the offering plate as it comes by later in the service. So let us get ready now, ready to sing, to pray, to welcome home the Dukes, to bless our students and educators, and to pass the peace to one another. Let us worship together. We're ready.
Thank you. Let us pray. God, you have brought us here this perfect day for a picnic to share your praise. Please reignite us with your presence and help us remember how blessed we are as we worship here today, all together again, and throughout the week at school, work, and home. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Searched and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before the words of my tongue, Lord, you know them completely.
You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
About this church is that there are lots of ways to connect with others and to engage with our world. Some of the ways are big, like flying to Nicaragua to volunteer with Amos. And some of the ways are not so big, like joining a book group. I still work nearly full time, so the ways that I have connected with the church have tended to fall in the not so big category. I attend the women's book group, which meets every 6 weeks in someone's home. I go to Needles and Nosh, a gathering of a bunch of us who like to sit around and knit and eat and do needlework and talk. As often as my weekly work schedule allows, I like to join a group of retired and semi-retired women for lunch at a downtown Ann Arbor restaurant. And on Sundays, when the various requests come in, I bring food for Hope Clinic's food pantry, school supplies for the backpacks, and toiletries for the rotating shelter.
I have helped serve coffee and snacks after church. I have volunteered to greet and pass out bulletins, and I like to attend the adult second hour class, which meets after church at 11:30 in the lounge downstairs, which, by the way, if any of you are new, is through this door, down the ramp, and then to the right. There's another set of stairs there that you go down. The lounge is on the left, and the fellowship hall is, the lounge is on the right, and the fellowship hall is on the left, which is where the snacks are, so that's very important to know. It took me a while to figure that out when I was first new here until I connected with someone who showed me around, which was very nice. When I was reflecting on the various connections I have at First Baptist, I realized that the way I first connected here is the simplest and the most profound. For me, the connection that remains the most meaningful is when we pass the peace to one another. Not just any old peace, the peace of Christ. When we share the peace of Christ, we aren't just greeting each other, although it certainly includes that, but we are sharing a connection with each other, with God and with the world. I try to remember not to pass the peace robotically, as if I were merely fulfilling a request that Paul and Stacy have for us. Instead, I remind myself to pay attention and remember that we are making a simple, deep connection with one another. We are connecting with friends that we've known for years. We are connecting with people that we're getting to know and who may become new friends. And we are connecting with people who we have never met. But we are all united by our love for peace and our hope for shalom. Christ's peace, the peace that passes understanding. What deeper connection can we make than that?
Today, we welcome Stacy and Paul home after 13 weeks of sabbatical, a time of renewal and nourishment for them as well as for us. It has been my privilege to serve as interim pastor during this time. This church has been nothing but welcoming, supportive, encouraging, flexible, willing, creative, faithful, and generous. You have been everything anyone could hope a church could be, and it has been a joy. The only greater joy is saying welcome home to Paul and Stacy. While Paul and Stacy were away, Zan Morgan assumed additional ministry duties, and we want to take a moment today to thank God for Zan, for her abundant gifts of ministry, and to ask for God's blessing as she continues her ministry among us. I invite you to extend your hand as a sign of blessing for Zan. Zan, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May you always know the love and gratitude of this congregation, your co-laborers in the work of the gospel. May God's Holy Spirit fill you and use you as you continue your ministry to us and with us. Amen.
Today we give thanks to God for Heather as our interim pastor. We give thanks for her and for her ministry among us, for the ways God has blessed her and our congregation, renewing us for our life and ministry together. As we welcome Paul and Stacy back into their pastoral roles, we release Heather from her work as interim pastor. We give thanks for Heather and for her gifts for ministry, and for all the ways that God has blessed our congregation through her, renewing us for our life and ministry together. We ask God to continue to bless her. Do you, Heather, this question is for you all. Do you, the members and friends of First Baptist Church, with your gratitude and blessing, release Heather from her pastoral duties? You say we do. We were feeling mixed about that. Good thing Heather will continue to serve in all kinds of ways with us. Heather, this is for you, and the answer is I do. Heather, as you take your leave from this pastoral position, do you offer your blessing on this church that we may continue to serve God's loving purpose together?
I do.
Let us pray. We invite you to put your hands forward too now as we pray a prayer of blessing over Heather. Loving God, bless Heather as she releases her pastoral role and resumes her ministry among us as a member of our church family. Renew her and refresh her. Let her move forward in the knowledge of the deep love and gratitude of this congregation. Grace her with your presence that she might continue to grow in faith, hope, and love. Amen. Said, we welcome Paul, Stacy, Rob, and Charlie home, and we give thanks for their time of sabbatical, and we ask God to continue to bless them and our congregation through their experience. Dukes, would you please come forward? Rob and Charlie, would you too? Paul and Stacy, would you come stand kind of close to me too? We ask that you now extend your hands again as we bless the Dukes. We pray for them. Loving God, we thank you for the safe return of the Duke family. Thank you for all the ways you filled their home, their travels, and their lives with joy, laughter, healing, and love. As they continue to reflect on all that they saw, did, and learned, we ask you to continue your work of spiritual growth and renewal in their lives. Amen. Charlie, thank you. As we welcome Paul and Stacy back to First Baptist Church, we ask God to bless their leadership and to bless our life and ministry together. So now I have a question for you again. The response is, we do. Do you, the members and friends of First Baptist Church, with your gratitude and blessing, welcome, receive and bless Paul and Stacy as they resume their pastoral ministry among us?
We do.
And now for Paul and Stacy. Paul and Stacy, as you step back into your roles as pastors, do you commit to lead us, to love us, and to serve alongside us as we seek to live out God's loving purpose in the world? We ask that you pray with us now again. And you can extend your hands one more time. This is good. All kinds of blessings today. I love it. Paul and Stacy, by God's grace, we receive you home as pastors of First Baptist Church. May the Lord bless and keep you. May God's Holy Spirit fill you and use you as you proclaim the gospel among us. And live the gospel with us. Take up the work to which you have been called by God's abundant grace. Amen.
Such good hands while we were gone. We're so grateful for the time we had away for renewal and refreshment and learning. And we're so grateful to you for all you did while we were away and ahead of time to help make that possible. We're especially grateful to Zan and to Heather and to the rest of the staff who did all kinds of things to not just hold the line, but to help move things forward in a wonderful way while we were gone. I'm sorry, Heather, but I'm going to have to ask you to walk back up here. not enough words for us. You got to come all the way up. Sorry, sister. This woman, oh my goodness, not just pastoring all of you while we were away, but pastored us too, across the ocean in multiple ways. And we just cannot say enough thanks to you and for you. And we're so glad that we get to still work alongside you here. And we have a small token of our gratitude. Did you want to say anything, Paul? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But I have to always stop and ask if he wants to say anything, because otherwise I'll just keep talking. As many of you know, most of you know, while we were away, what we were looking at was sacred art and architecture, exploring the gospel through the arts. And as our sons could tell you, our most important thing that we, or the thing that was most important to the two of us, was looking at renderings of the Annunciation. And which is when the angel Gabriel came to the young Mary and told her what was to happen to her life. And she said, yes. And you'll be hearing more about our explorations and learnings. You'll probably hear so much, you'll want us to stop talking about it. One of the renderings of the Annunciation that we saw, that we especially loved, was by Frangelico. We saw it at San Marco Museum in Florence, which had been a monastery. And we wanted to present this print of Frangelico's painting, his fresco, it's a fresco, as for many reasons we wanted to give this to you, but thank you for saying yes. And we just hope that you will continue to feel the blessing of God and of our congregation in your life and in all of our lives together. Thank you so much. A reading now from the prophet Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Let us pray together, please. O God of all creation, source of light, and present as well in our darkness, we lift to you our praise and our hurt and our longing. Thankful hearts we give you for the loveliness of this day, and that we are alive to enjoy it. We thank you for friends, for music, for the saints who are this church. We thank you for all the pleasures we take in being loved by others and loving others in return. These gifts are given, all of them, by your love for us all. And now into that love we place the world's pain and our own. We pray for all victims of Hurricane Dorian, especially for all in the Bahamas who are grieving for loved ones who have lost their lives, and for the multitudes of people who have lost their homes and a great deal more, and for those who are tirelessly working to rescue and restore and give comfort. Many of us in this room have struggles of a different sort: grief, anxiety, uncertainty, stress, shame, rage, loneliness. We hold these hurts to ourselves, most of us. But God, you know what we've lost and what we fear and what we most truly need. Help us to be more truthful about all of that, and teach us greater trust in your care and trust in others to help us through it. Thank you for every strength that is ours to lean on and for every good hope that your Spirit sets before us. We pray especially now for these: for Bonnie Miles, with Mara and Carrie, for Peter Beauvais, Jean, Evie, Joan and Lynn Blunt, for Stacy, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Doris George, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, the family and friends of Octavio Bacci, Saw Ne Lin, Robert L., Marissa Alanese, for the Jones family, for Eldy and Ara, Stephen, Jim Terrace, Katie, Bonnie, Jenny, Kate, Janice Russ, Amy L., Catherine, the Ticknor family, for Kristen Connor and Laman Mane, for Matthew K., Alex, Mauricia and Bonnie Aaron. And now in silence, we offer our most personal prayers. All of these praises, all of these hurts, all of these our longings and the world's longing, we offer through the mercies that we know in Christ, who invited us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen.
Now we invite the children forward for time as children with Zan.
We are going to learn a song today, all of us together. It's a prayer song. It's a song that we're going to sing as we come up for time as children, one that is repetitive and one that we can really get in our hearts and our heads. So we can sing it and pray it all the time. It's a song, a prayer that we are asking God to be in us and for God to be in what we do. For God to be in our heads, and for God to be in our understanding, and for God to be in our eyes and in our looking, and for God to be in our mouths and in our speaking, and for God to be in our hearts and in our thinking, and for God to be with us all the way through until our end and our departing. So we're going to do a motion like this is for God. This is a sign for God. And then we'll touch those places that we're talking about God being in, and then we're going to put our hands out like this. For understanding and for looking and for thinking, the doing part. When we ask God to be part of our doing, we're going to put our hands forward. So we're going to sing this song now. Miss Shanae is going to play with us, grown-ups and teenagers. I invite you to sing it with us now too, and to move your bodies if you'd like to pray that way as well. So let's sing those words, God be in my head and in my understanding, and we'll keep going. Those words as we start this school year and as we start our year in our Sunday school classes, we have lots of things to be praying for, God to be in us and through us. We're going to do some prayers now, pray some prayers now for learners, for you, for teenagers, for those who are students in college. We're going to pray for those who are teachers. And then at the end, we're all going to do a blessing together. This is the Sunday of blessings, and it's so good to pray together. So, you guys get to go first. Your church family believes that each one of you, is a precious gift from God. We pray that you will find joy and wonder in your learning. May God bless you, that you may develop hearts that care and minds that seek to understand God's world. Now, Pastor Stacy's going to say some words about the teens, the youth.
I'm going to ask the middle schoolers and high schoolers if you will stand, please. We've got several new middle schoolers. That's exciting. Some high schoolers up in the choir, too. Youth, your church family believes that each one of you is a gift from God filled with potential and possibility. We pray that you will have curious minds and compassionate hearts, that you will have courage in the face of peer pressure, and that you will have a faith that finds concrete expression in your daily life. May God bless you, that you may grow in wisdom and in truth. You may be seated. And now I invite all of our undergraduate and graduate students to stand, please. Right. You may be far from home or not, but either way, this church family embraces you as our own. We pray that you will have open minds and faithful hearts, that you will find peace and wisdom in the face of competing demands and challenges, and that you will know that you are loved. May God bless you in your ongoing quest for knowledge and truth, that you may become more fully like Christ in thought, word, and deed. You may be seated.
We have educators in this room, in this church family. And I want to invite now all teachers from preschool through university level, please to stand, and all administrators and other workers in any of those systems, please stand. Every day you stand alongside learners of all ages, offering your wisdom, guidance, and support. We pray that you will have every strength and resource that you need to offer your gifts, that you will find grace in the face of daily pressures, and that students and colleagues will perceive your faith. May God bless these educators and staff, that they may model their lives on Jesus, who was the best teacher and friend. Be seated.
We have one more group to bless today, and that are those of you that are leading ministry here with our children in the nursery or in one of the church school classes for children or part of the youth programming. For those of you that have taught or will be teaching in our second hour adult programming, we invite all of you to stand now. All right. You share your time and gifts as you teach and care for our babies, our children, our youth, and our adults. As a congregation, we commit ourselves as learners, and we pray that God's Holy Spirit will nourish and equip you for the responsibility of nurturing the faith of others. May God bless these teachers and other volunteers so that their faith may grow and be strengthened as they seek to lead others in a deeper relationship with Jesus and a stronger faith in God. All together, we now pray that congregational response together. You'll find it in your bulletin. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of learning and teaching. May Jesus, the great teacher,
thank you.
Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, happy new day and happy new year. I know it's not actually the new year, but I mean, this is a university town. It's a new year. Thought it might be a new football year, too, but we'll see. And whether or not you're one of the many people who stood a few moments ago as either a student or an educator or both, it's kind of impossible not to feel that newness. We've got that school rhythm in the air and in our bones. Those fresh possibilities and potential that comes with a new, that come with a new start. It's kind of a reset. And who of us doesn't need a reset every now and then? Who of us, at one time or another, hasn't longed to let go of our old habits, longed for past mistakes to cease having a hold on us? Who of us hasn't yearned for a chance to start again, to find renewed energy, renewed passion, renewed commitments? Maybe even be a new us. The truth is, we get that kind of chance over and over again. Beginning of the school year, sure. A new season. Or we move. We take on a new job. We retire. We start a new relationship, or we end an old, unhealthy one. The question isn't whether or not we get second chances. We get them throughout life. Repeatedly, we get our new starts. The question really is, what are we going to do with them? This morning's story from the Hebrew Scriptures invites us to consider how best to use a second chance. And it doesn't start with an invitation to think differently, or to do differently, or to be different. It starts in a much more essential place than that. It starts with an invitation to listen differently, and to see differently. It's a beautiful invitation from God to the prophet Jeremiah. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. God invites the prophet to go watch an artist at work in order to get a fresh perspective. I love it. Come away from your work for a while. Come see an artist and his art. Learn something new about who I am. The word of the Lord is certainly found in the sanctuary and in the scriptures, but the prophet will hear something and see something new about God by stepping away from the familiar and getting down to the potter's shed. So Jeremiah goes. He sees the potter working at his wheel. The clay vessel the potter has been making is spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworks it into another vessel as seems good to him. And then God says, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in this potter's hand, so are you in my hand." In other stories in Scripture, we see God as ruler, judge, teacher, gardener, builder, father, mother, lover, friend. But here, we see God at the wheel, an artisan, an artist. And there are echoes here of the creation story in Genesis, where God is stooping down, kneeling in the dust of the earth to shape the clay, to sculpt a person from the soil. Here at the potter's wheel, this same creative work takes on an additional dimension. There is not only making, there is remaking. There is not only shaping, there is reshaping. At the potter's wheel, the clay is always a work in progress because it hasn't been put through the fire yet. It's not finished. As long as it's on the wheel, it's not done yet. That means plans can still be spoiled. The clay can wobble off center. It can fold in on itself. It can break apart. It can even fly apart, pieces of it spinning off the wheel. These things aren't what the potter had in mind. But because the work isn't finished yet, because the clay hasn't been fired yet, it doesn't have to stay ruined. It's still supple, pliable, malleable. The potter can keep working with it, keep pumping the wheel, keep wetting the clay, keep working with hands to shape, to reshape. It's exciting to think about what new thing the clay could still become. I mean, sure, it's frustrating for the potter. We've all had the experience of working on something and having it not go to plan. Sometimes you can fix it. A lot of times you can't. But clay, in the hands of a talented potter, can be reformed as long as it hasn't gone through the fire yet. They just recenter it. And they just keep spinning. Just keep adding the water. Just keep squeezing and pulling and pressing. They might have to listen to the clay, change their original vision and plan, maybe not force it back into the shape they had originally had in mind. The potter might improvise, rework the clay into another vessel as seems good. At the wheel, there is a give and take between the artist and material. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, God says, so are you in my hand. Imagine that. We are on the wheel. We are spinning. We are coming off center. We are folding and failing and falling and flying into all directions. We try to hit the reset button. We try for our fresh start. But we're not the potters. And before we know it, there we are again, spinning and spinning and folding and falling and flying and turning away from center, turning away from God, turning in on ourselves. We can't seem to fix it. We can't seem to fix ourselves. God's word to Jeremiah is for us. Can I not do with you just as the potter has done? We are on the wheel in whatever state we're in, and we are not abandoned to our own spinning. God, the potter, is there working us, reworking us. It is up close. It is intimate work. God, the potter, is invested in us, invested in our future. We can trust this. We can trust that God's hands are there active, even when the work of being remade doesn't feel good. When we really are letting ourselves be remade, reworked into something more than what we've been, revealed as something new, that can be painful work. It can be messy. It can feel like a forceful pushing or pulling. There's also this element of improvisation. Turns out God's plan isn't a closed system with only one way to get it right. God has made us, created us with purpose and for purpose, gotten in the mess with us, has pressed us and formed us toward our loving purpose. But sometimes things fall apart. Sometimes we fall apart. Life doesn't go the way we planned. We mess up. We turn away. We turn in. But God the Potter is still there, with loving hands, working to make something beautiful and purposeful in partnership with us. For Israel, that meant a choice. God had plans for the house of Israel, but those plans were not simply implemented by God on top of them, apart from Israel's own choices. This is why Jeremiah is prophesying in the first place. God's plans were not fixed. They depended on what the people chose. God had a good plan that could be thwarted by the people's choices to do evil, to center themselves. At the same time, God had plans to judge the unjust oppressor nations, and those harsh plans could also be changed if those nations turned from evil. In other words, if the people repented, God would work a new plan, a good plan, a beautiful future. So God asks Jeremiah to call the people to repentance. Get back on the wheel. Let the potter get to work. That word, repent, it sounds so churchy and severe. I mean, really, do you hear it anywhere else but in this room and in this building? It makes us feel bad, but it's a good word. What it really means is turn. Just turn around. Turn back. Turn towards the God who loves. Turn from the destructive, hurtful thoughts and habits and attitudes and actions that are hurting you, hurting others. Just turn around. Let God recreate you. Unlike a lump of clay, we have a choice. We play a role in partnering with God for our own future. We can choose whether or not to let God keep working on us, keep working in us. We can choose whether or not to let ourselves be remade. And make no mistake, that remaking belongs to God, not us. We don't get to control or design or engineer the process or the outcomes. God does the work. We just show up. We just let ourselves be on that wheel. Let God center us there. Maybe this season, this week, this day, maybe this is your new start. Maybe it's what you've been waiting for, a chance to let go of the past, to do something different than you've been doing, to be something more than you've been before, to be something new. Maybe now is the time to be remade. The remaking belongs to God, but here is the part that belongs to us. We repent, turn away from the things that hurt us and others. We remember that our place is in God's hands, and those hands are there. We reclaim our identity as beautiful, open vessels created for good purposes. And then we receive. We receive what God wants to give, what God wants to do. We yield. We let ourselves be supple, surrendered, centered. The wheel is spinning. The water is flowing. The potter's hands are pushing and prodding and pulling and cradling and scooping and so tenderly creating a future of beauty and goodness and purpose. And you? What are you gonna do? Having received the abundant grace and goodness of God and knowing it, we have opportunity to make response with our own offerings, a sign of the offering of our lives. We make these gifts now with gratitude and with joy.
Oh.
gracious God, receive these gifts. Receive the offering of our lives. Receive our church. Take and use us all, use it all, for your loving purposes in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Participate in redemption. We participate in the remaking of the world by God's love. And one of the ways we participate in that is by extending peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Absolutely.